This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Impeachment spin. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Wednesday, December 4th. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
House Democrats on the Intelligence Committee have approved a report on impeachment. Republicans are pushing back. You'll hear from both sides.
Two things appear to be hurting prospects for a trade agreement between the U.S. and China. We'll identify them in about 2 minutes.
As far as gift card scams go, this story is astonishing. Hear the extraordinary amount of money one woman lost to a con artist.
And why parents can't get support in Congress for paid family leave for the birth of a child.
It would allow you to take up to 12 weeks off with up to 66% of your pay, not just because you have a new child, but if you get sick or you have a loved one that needs to be cared for because they're ailing. So, you know, you've got that happening.
Sharice Jones at USA Today, in depth on the fight for paid family leave and affordable child care. House Democrats on the Intelligence Committee have approved a report accusing President Trump of soliciting foreign election interference by pushing Ukraine to announce investigations into political rival Joe Biden and 2016 election tampering. It alleges that Mr. Trump made the Ukrainian president's request for a White House visit and military aid contingent on Ukraine's announcement of those probes. Committee Chairman Adam Schiff.
I am gravely concerned that if we merely accept this, that we invite not only further corruption of our elections by this president, but we also invite it of the next president.
Mr. Trump has denied any wrongdoing during a July phone call that's at the heart of the impeachment inquiry, where his critics claim a quid pro quo with his Ukrainian counterpart. Doug Collins of Georgia is the ranking Republican on the committee.
They're having a problem because this will be the first impeachment that has ever had with honestly disputed, not just disputed facts on why they want to impeach the president, but actually contradicted facts.
The matter now goes to the Judiciary Committee, which is responsible for determining whether the allegations are grounds for impeachment. Two new developments seem to be throwing cold water on the prospects to end the trade war between the U.S. and China. One, President Trump's comments that a trade agreement may have to wait until late 2020, and two, a bill from the House requiring the Trump administration to toughen its response to China's crackdown on Uyghur Muslims.
In some ways, I like the idea of waiting till after the election for the China deal. But they want to make a deal now, and we'll see whether or not the deal's going to be right. It's got to be right. Look, China's been ripping off the United States for many, many years.
Reuters is reporting that tensions triggered by the bill could jeopardize the so-called Phase One deal that's already fraught with disagreements and complications. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross told CNBC yesterday that staff-level trade negotiations with China are continuing, but no high-level trade talks have been scheduled. Meanwhile, planned tariffs on remaining Chinese imports will take effect in 11 days if there's no significant progress in the talks. The ranks are thinning in the Democrat race for the presidential nomination. California Senator Kamala Harris is ending her bid. She made the announcement yesterday in an email to supporters that was also posted online. Federal Election Commission reports show that her campaign burned through millions of dollars more than it had raised during the period that ended September 30th.
I have come to one of the hardest decisions of my life. So here's the deal, guys. My campaign for president simply does not have the financial resources to continue. And the financial resources we need to continue.
After a surge of attention and a fundraising boost following what was seen as a strong debate performance in June, Ms. Harris struggled to settle on where to compete and how to craft her message. She also failed to catch fire with African American voters and wrestled with how to sell her background as a former prosecutor. For several weeks, she failed to develop a clear position on health care. After signing on as a co-sponsor to the Medicare for All bill from Senator Bernie Sanders, Ms. Harris backtracked. It's 11 minutes now after the hour.
Hey, welcome into Wednesday. Thanks for joining us. A recent study suggests that online disinformation campaigns have had only a limited impact on voters. For an in-depth look at fake news, we're joined now by Alex Shepard, staff writer at The New Republic. Alex, set this up.
Over the last 3 years, basically since Brexit and the 2016 election, all of the talk about what's happening in the media has centered around fake news and foreign interference, specifically Russian interference. But in part because this concept was so new, there's basically, if you look through like Google Ngram, you know, there are almost no uses of the term fake news before 2016. There was no actual academic literature about what this is and what it does to people. And over the last 2 years, closer to 18 months, you've started to see the first batch of research about how fake news works and what it does. And what all of these studies show pretty conclusively, which, you know, lines up with a lot of previous research, is that, you know, fake news doesn't persuade anybody. It doesn't change anyone's mind, which I think was the big concern about it. There are people who are talking about how both Brexit and the 2016 election were sort of tainted by these influence campaigns. That's not to say that it's harmless, but I think it's pretty clear that the way that we've talked about it is sort of over, it's turned into an overblown crisis in a way that I think actually probably plays into the hands of the people who are disseminating fake news.
That's interesting. How is it defined, by the way? Because I think you provided a couple of different definitions.
Yes, well, so there are now many. It's already become a very contested term. I think the sort of, you know, the academic term is the way that sort of Russian propaganda was used in 2016, which is to say stories like the most famous one was one that said that the Pope endorsed Donald Trump for president, right, which of course he didn't do. Obviously, in part, I think, to muddy the waters, to contest the definition, you know, the Trump administration, as well as a number of other sort of despots and sort of right-wing governments, have used fake news as a way of discrediting the sort of media that they see as being unnecessarily aggressive towards them.
Mm. Speaking with Alex Shepard, staff writer at The New Republic. His piece is called "The Real News Crisis Isn't Fake News." I was surprised. There's some statistic from over the summer. 50% of Americans viewed fake news as a bigger threat than terrorism.
Yeah, I mean, there was a study too that said, you know, that sort of 70% saw it as an existential threat to democracy, or I think 68%. And I think, you know, that's not surprising. I mean, if you look at the way that fake news has been covered, both by, you know, mainstream outlets, particularly cable news outlets like CNN, but also, you know, reputable newspapers like the New York Times, and, you know, also the way that Congress has treated it, you know, folks like Mark Warner have made a big point. It's become a major aspect of the sort of growing level of oversight over social media companies like Facebook. You know, it's been treated like, you know, in some ways, like terrorism was after 9/11, as a sort of shadowy, nebulous threat that's a threat to democracy and that we're fundamentally, you know, unable to challenge. And I think just if you look at the actual research, in some ways it is like terrorism. I mean, it's been significantly exaggerated as a threat to the way that democracy functions.
Yeah. And I think you alluded to it earlier on, but most folks are not persuaded by this type of stuff. They have opinions and they're not changing.
To some extent, it points to a larger crisis in democracy, which is that, you know, people have hardened partisan political ideas, right? And it's really hard to shake them once they're formed. One thing that the researchers have found is that the people who are most likely to view fake news are people who are heavy news consumers already, and they've already made up their mind about these things. You know, it's certainly possible that a story like the Pope endorsing Donald Trump, you know, could make somebody's resolve even firmer, but there's no evidence that it's taking somebody who has kind of mushy political opinions and turning them into a radical. You know, I think that's the bigger issue.
So as long as we have the internet and or social media, these types of stories, I suppose, are not going away.
No, I mean, I don't know how. I think tech companies haven't done enough to sort of clean up their platforms in a larger sense, but I don't really know what you can do given that, you know, in some cases there are, you know, hundreds of millions of these stories circulating, some of which are created, you know, by, you know, foreign intelligence agencies, and some of which are created by teenagers in Macedonia. And what do you do about that? I'm not sure, but I think, if you look at the actual research here, if the idea is that you want to have a better democracy, I don't necessarily think that putting most of your resources into fighting, you know, what are mostly pretty silly stories that are created by foreign governments that don't have a great sense of how our country actually works, is the most important thing to do.
Thanks, Alex. Alex Shepard, staff writer at The New Republic. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here now with more of America's First News, including three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, the House Judiciary Committee is moving swiftly to weigh findings by fellow lawmakers that President Trump misused the power of his office for personal political gain and then obstructed Congress's investigation as possible grounds for impeachment. Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee found serious misconduct by the president. Committee Chairman Adam Schiff.
This report chronicles a scheme by the President of the United States to coerce an ally, Ukraine, that is at war with an adversary, Russia, into doing the President's political dirty work.
President Trump fired back.
This guy is sick. He made up the conversation. He lied. If he didn't do that in the halls of Congress, he'd be thrown in a jail. But he did it in the halls of Congress, and he's given immunity. This is a sick person. He's a liar.
The report did not render a judgment on whether Trump's actions stemming from a July phone call with Ukraine's president rose to the constitutional level of high crimes and misdemeanors. Number two, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg is rejecting French criticism that the military alliance is suffering from brain death and insists that the organization is adapting to modern challenges. President Trump and his NATO counterparts are gathered outside London as infighting between some of the biggest member countries threatens to undermine NATO's credibility. Number three, when Senator Kamala Harris entered the presidential race in January, her California roots were supposed to give her special access to cash and delegates required to win the Democratic nomination. Instead, she faced headwinds that ultimately forced her sudden departure yesterday from the contest.
To you, my supporters, my dear supporters, it is with deep regret, but also with deep gratitude, that I am suspending our campaign.
Harris says she did not have the financial resources to continue. And here's a cautionary tale if you tend to store things in or near your microwave. A dog in the UK inadvertently started a kitchen fire when it somehow managed to turn on a microwave. The husky, who was home alone at the time of the incident, turned on the appliance, which was on the kitchen counter. For some reason, the homeowner was storing a bag of rolls inside, which ignited when the microwave went on. Luckily, the townhouse suffered only smoke damage and no one was injured in the incident. Mm.
You know, you said for some reason. There is a reason.
Why is that?
Because if the rolls were left on the counter, the dog would get them.
Oh.
So instead, the dog burned them. I'm sure the dog only meant 15 seconds, not 15 hours in the microwave.
Do not put plastic in the microwave.
No, true. Thanks, Jen. Here's a scenario that's becoming increasingly common. Scammers calling or emailing people under a variety of pretenses that end in requests to purchase gift cards. Why gift cards? Because they allow con artists to make purchases immediately and anonymously. They don't even need the physical card. Here's a harrowing tale by Julie Jargon, who writes the family and tech column for the Wall Street Journal. Julie, tell us the story.
So I spoke with this woman who is 78 years old, and one day she received a phone call from a young man claiming to be her grandson, and she said it sounded like him. And he said he had been driving around with his friends and they had been arrested, and that he needed $4,000 in the form of gift cards to bail out of jail. And he even handed the phone over to a man who he said was a police officer to confirm the story. And of course, he asked his grandmother not to tell his mother. So after she hung up, she said that she actually dialed her grandson on his cell phone and he didn't answer. And that it convinced her that he was probably in jail and didn't have access to his own phone. So she went right over to her bank, withdrew $4,000 in cash, and then went to Walmart. Now, the first trip there, she actually said she was so frazzled that she bought the wrong kind of card. What the scammers wanted were actual Walmart gift cards because they have a code on the back that can be scratched off, and that enables them to use that code to make purchases online. What she ended up buying were prepaid MasterCards. And when she was on her way home, or maybe when she got home, she received another call from the scammer saying, did you get the cards? She said, yes. Turns out, you know, she got the wrong kind. So back she went to her bank.
My goodness. Withdrew
another $4,000. Went back to Walmart. Bought four $1,000 Walmart gift cards.
Oh, okay, so that's still not the end of it, right? She goes a third time and withdraws another $4,000 because these guys make up the fact that now they're caught on drug charges or something. So she goes back. Where's her bank in all this, by the way? She's 78 years old. And listen, I'm profiling, right? I'm a pretend teller right here. The bank is not saying, Ms. Capon, this is your third withdrawal of $4,000. Is everything all right? Or what are you doing? Or can we help you?
Exactly. And that's exactly what her family members were saying after the fact. Why is it that no one spotted this along the way? You know, why a bank teller didn't say, you know, this is what's going on here. Why do you keep coming back in one day withdrawing thousands of dollars?
Yeah.
And similarly, you know, at that Walmart, you know, no one seemed to catch on that maybe this was unusual. Now, Walmart does say, and a lot of other retailers also say, that they have trained staff to be on the lookout for this kind of behavior. And in fact, there have been a lot of retailers where employees have thwarted these kind of scams because they notice someone buying thousands of dollars in gift cards and they call a manager over and they kind of walk them through, you know, there's some scams going around. This is what to look for. Is this kind of your situation? And so they've been able to stop some of these things.
Goodness. Wow. We're speaking with Julie Jargon. She writes the family and tech column for the Wall Street Journal. She's got an unbelievable piece called Beware the Gift Card Scam, How One Family Learned the Hard Way. So she's out the 12 grand here. Everybody in her family obviously is miserable and angry. Did she claw any of that back in any way, shape, or form?
She did get some of it back. Her daughter, one of her daughters, was able to get cash back for the MasterCard cards that she purchased. So that money was never actually lost, but she did want the cash back from it. And she was able to do that. Someone from Walmart was able to, you know, credit some of the money back before it was all spent. So she did get another few thousand back. I think in all, she was out nearly $4,000, okay. Though.
Yeah, thanks, Julie. Julie Jargon writes the family and tech column for the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
In general, I'm a win-win guy. When I have to spend hours searching for the right part, it's lose-lose. It's time lost for me and lost time for my crew. That's why I order from Grainger. With product experts that have the answers to my toughest questions and easy-to-use website to help me find the right product quickly, I can rely on Grainger to make getting supplies for my business as simple and seamless as possible. When it comes to getting things done, it's a win-win when Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Did your last bottle of cologne come from the grocery store? Now you smell like your dad? Hi there, Gordon Deal. To solve your dad cologne problems, let me introduce you to Hawthorne. Trust me, this cologne smells amazing. Go to hawthorne.co and take their quick quiz and find out the two colognes that are best for you. One for work, maybe one for play. This quiz is really cool. It took me 2 minutes and was very specific. They were able to tailor products for me that were perfect for my needs. From colognes to body wash, shampoos, and more. Take the quiz now and get started. I only usually wear cologne when I receive it as a gift, but the Hawthorne cologne now has me thinking differently. Same for body wash. I typically grab whatever from the grocery store, but the exfoliating wash from Hawthorne is next level stuff. Check out Hawthorne at hawthorne.co. That's Hawthorne with an E. And use my promo code Gordon to get 10% off your first purchase. That's Hawthorne.co, and use my promo code Gordon to get 10% off your purchase. Hawthorne.co.
Now that Human Resources Director Fernando Pino has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, he's completely crushing it. He even has his own hype song.
Supporting our entire workforce. Everyone has different hours, skill sets, and pay grades. Motivating and engaging our people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger. I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top,
top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top. America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. ThisMorning@CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday, December 4. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. House Democrats approve an impeachment report. Trump says he can wait till after the election for a China trade deal.
Kamala Harris out of the presidential race. An afternoon launch is scheduled for a resupply mission to the International Space Station. On board for study today, genetically engineered mice. First, wine and beer advent calendars. Now Aldi is out with a sparkling wine countdown to the new year. And New York to California in record-breaking speed by car. That story in about 20 minutes. With both parents working in more and more American families, an unprecedented number of women in Congress, and support from a Republican president and his daughter, the nation appeared to be on the cusp of changing our approach to parental leave and affordable child care, but so far nothing. Working parents feel the frustration every day, lamenting how difficult and expensive it is to raise a family in America. But Sharice Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today, says it turns out not everyone shares working parents' urgency. Time to go in-depth on a serious and sensitive issue. Sharice, what are your sources saying?
There's real momentum finally on both sides of the political aisle to have some kind of a paid leave policy and more affordable child care. But a big glitch is trying to figure out how to pay for it, and that's all over the map. And you also have some Americans, somewhat surprisingly, who actually, you know, they feel if you have a kid, one of the parents should stay home, and they don't want to pay for another parent to have paid leave and time off, or they don't want to pay for them to have a child care subsidy. So there is still some resistance in some quarters. Even though there is momentum and there's a potential to finally come up with a solution.
All right. So President Trump embraces it, as you point out. Ivanka Trump has taken this kind of under her wing as an issue. Where is it in Washington?
There are a bunch of bills that are pending. They're not necessarily coming up for a vote anytime soon, but they're gathering a lot of sponsors. The Family Leave Act just got its first Republican sponsor, Chris Smith out of New Jersey, and basically that would have a payroll tax that would allow you to take up to 12 weeks off with up to 66% of your pay, not just because you have a new child, but if you get sick or you have a loved one that needs to be cared for because they're ailing. So, you know, you've got that happening. Some other Republican lawmakers are actually having a big news conference soon about a proposal they have where you can take the child tax credit, have $5,000 the first year, and then over the next decade have about $1,500 a year to put towards expenses. And so there are a lot of different proposals that are actually percolating out there, but again, it's about getting the consensus.
Yeah. If there was the political will, it seems like this could get done, but there's not, I guess, at this point.
Well, you know, I think that it gets down to, you know, the constant pull and tug in U.S. politics is the responsibility of the individual versus the society, right? And so you've got proposals that, for instance, will say, well, you can draw on your Social Security to pay these expenses. Well, obviously, if you do that, you might suffer on the other end because you won't have as much Social Security to pull from. Others are saying we should all chip into it. Let's do a payroll tax, and then everybody can access it. So it's really about, everyone knows that it sounds good. We're the only country besides Papua New Guinea that doesn't have it. But, you know, who should pay for it is really a big sticking point.
Yeah. We're speaking with Sharice Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today, about her story entitled America's Parents Want Paid Family Leave and Affordable Child Care. Why can't they get it? Part of this, too, I presume, is businesses, at least when it comes to a federal policy, businesses do not want to be told how to operate their businesses.
Yeah, I mean, there certainly is some resistance by some big business organizations to having a federal mandate, you know, being told that they have to chip in or what they have to provide. But surprisingly, you have a lot more companies that are getting on this train. I mean, partly it's just a great perk, and it's a great way to recruit employees or to keep talent on your staff. So a lot of major companies actually have great packages, and in some cases, they may not really want a national mandate because it'll make them less competitive. So that's part of the issue. But smaller businesses, they're the ones that really struggle with it because they don't have a lot of resources. They don't have a lot of manpower. So if two of their seven staff members are out on leave, then what do they do? So for them, it seems like a bigger mountain to climb, and they're a little bit more skeptical. But more and more businesses realize that it's probably the right thing to do, both for the national economy and just to maintain a happy workforce.
All right. So if not during this period of a competitive job market, I mean, then when, right? Because now that can be a perk, something to retain or recruit workers with.
Exactly. Well, you know, again, there is a lot more chatter about it. There's a lot of heat on this issue. And so that's a lot of progress, more than we've seen in recent years. But we've also got an election coming up, you know, in 2020. And so the players could really change. And so you don't know what the fallout's going to be from that. But there is a lot of pressure to do something. So we're moving closer to the finish line, but we haven't crossed it yet.
Thanks, Cherise. Cherise Jones, National Business Correspondent at USA Today. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, you've no doubt heard of crime families, mostly in relation to mob activities and, of course, in TV and movies. Far less glamorous are the two Kansas brothers who may need to find a new line of work. A Jackson County man was arrested last week driving a stolen SUV to bail out his brother, who had been jailed hours earlier, also for stealing an SUV. Police say the first brother was arrested for driving a Chevy Trailblazer with a suspended license, learning later that the SUV had been reported stolen. Hours later, his younger brother was arrested in a stolen Chevy Silverado en route to Jackson County Jail to post bail for his brother after leading deputies on a short chase. The brothers were eventually reunited at the jail where they awaited bond.
Wow.
You get all the details here, figuring out how this went down.
That's a lot going
on.
This
timeline. This is all in the span of like one day, apparently, that this happened. A lot of car stealing and a lot of getting caught.
All in the name of brotherly love.
Yes.
Did you say these guys graduated with honors or no? That was not part of the story?
I mean, it does not appear so. That was not in the story, and I saw their mugshots. I mean, if you know, again, not to sort of stereotype by the way these guys looked, mm-hmm. they didn't look like they were, you know, hitting the books that morning. Let's put it that way.
National Honor Society not knocking on their door.
Most likely not, no. And hopefully, Gordon, this was just a mistake and not someone at Amazon trying to send a message. A London man ordered an Apple Watch from the mega shopping website, but when the shipment arrived in the mail, he was in for a surprise. According to Fox News, John Brown took advantage of a Black Friday sale to purchase the Apple Watch for about $387. Unfortunately, instead of the high-tech watch, Brown received a $5 plunger instead. What made matters worse, Brown opened the box in front of his coworkers, who all started howling with laughter at the mistake. Brown, understandably, was less jovial about the expensive mix-up and set out to get it fixed. And while Amazon acknowledged that the order was wrong, they had more bad news for Brown. The color and design of the watch that he wanted was sold out by the time the mistake was discovered.
Wow.
So you can imagine this. You know, he gets this box at the office. He wants to kind of show off in front of everybody. Gather around, everyone. Look what I got. Look at all the fun features. And and he pulls out a plunger instead.
Wow.
I mean, the size of the box would have probably been the first tip-off, right?
Sure.
Because the Apple Watches are tiny.
Yeah.
Plunger much bigger than that. So probably thought something was up, you would think, before he even opened the box.
That's a triple disaster.
Yeah.
Wrong item delivered. Opened it up embarrassingly in front of his coworkers.
Yes.
And then the item he wants ultimately is not in stock.
Right.
Wow.
So not a very Merry Christmas for him, at least so far.
You can't wear a plunger on your wrist. Like, he didn't try to rescue it that way. Look, it fits.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that's going to count like his steps or his, you know, heartbeat or anything like that.
The plunger matches my shoes. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for spending time with us. Some 58% of victims plan to change their online shopping habits during the holidays because of the risk of packages being stolen from front porches after being delivered. How can you defend against porch pirates? MarketWatch spoke to three delivery companies. Amazon pointed to the company's logistics map tracking for real-time delivery tracking, logistics photo on delivery for visual confirmation of where a package was delivered, and the key service for in-home, in-car, and in-garage delivery. UPS says you can have the shipment sent to where you are, like your office, or to a relative or neighbor's house who's home, or sign up for the free UPS My Choice service to have more control over when and how packages are delivered. UPS My Choice members also have access to a network of more than 14,000 pickup points. Finally, FedEx highlighted the company's Delivery Manager feature, which lets customers redirect their packages to locations like FedEx offices, Walgreens, some Dollar General stores, and some grocery stores. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here now with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, a new report by the House Intelligence Committee reveals contact between President Trump's personal attorney Rudy Giuliani and the top Republican on the intelligence panel, California Congressman Devin Nunes. The report released yesterday includes phone records obtained from AT&T and Verizon that show Giuliani also engaged in frequent contact with the White House and with Lev Parnas, a Giuliani associate who is under indictment on charges of using foreign money to make illegal campaign contributions. Giuliani also was in close contact with a journalist as part of an effort to oust the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine. Number two, the House has passed a bill to counter what it calls the arbitrary detention, torture, and harassment of Uyghur Muslims in China. It calls for targeted sanctions on members of the Chinese government. The bill still needs approval from the Senate and from President Trump. China reacted angrily, calling it a gross interference. Meanwhile, in London, Trump says a trade deal with China is not imminent.
I have to make the right deal. I'm not going to make a deal that's not going to be great for our country. And it can't be an even deal. If it's an even deal, it's no good.
Blue chip stocks fell sharply yesterday on Trump's comments. Number three, Kim Jong-un mounted a white horse again, as North Korea announced today it will soon convene a rare meeting of the ruling party's leaders. Steps analysts say may signal preparations for a more confrontational stance with the international community. For the second time in 2 months, Kim visited a sacred mountain on horseback, this time accompanied by senior military officers aimed at instilling a revolutionary spirit in the people. Kim has warned the U.S. it has until the end of the year to offer more concessions to restart stalled denuclearization talks, or North Korea will pursue an unspecified new path. And the movie award season is starting to heat up, and one of the early honors has gone to veteran filmmaker Martin Scorsese. His crime epic, The Irishman, has been named Best Picture by the National Board of Review. Meanwhile, Marriage Story has won Best Feature at the IFP Gotham Awards, which honor independent films. Both The Irishman and Marriage Story are considered early favorites to pick up nominations at the Oscars next year. They are both Netflix productions. Oh.
I tried to watch The Irishman over Thanksgiving break.
Okay.
Kelly wasn't having it.
Okay.
Instead, I was strong-armed into watching a movie about elephants with Rob Lowe, Kristen Davis.
It could not be any more different.
Nope. And so guess what? Happy wife, happy life. We watched The Elephants. Thanks, Jen. Coming up next, New York to California in record time by car.
Dell's biggest Cyber Monday week ever starts now. Save up to 50% on Windows 10 laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors before Windows 7 support ends January 14th, 2020. Save on servers and a huge selection of electronics with low monthly payments, plus get free shipping. Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/SBCyberMonday.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
What do you say when there are no words?
Three guys you've probably never heard of recently broke a speed record. The New York to Los Angeles run, referred to as the Cannonball. Cross-country racers Arn Toman and Doug Tabbitt, along with a spotter, left New York City on November 10th in a modified Mercedes-Benz sedan and drove to Redondo Beach, California in 27 hours and 25 minutes. Fox News says they used an array of electronic law enforcement countermeasures like radar detectors, laser jammers, and a police scanner. Also, 18 scout vehicles drove ahead to check for speed traps, traffic, and other obstacles. They followed the so-called northern route that includes Interstate 80 and I-15 at an average speed of 103 miles an hour and hit a top speed of 193 at an undisclosed location. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.